it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him and will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not and keepeth not my sayings, and the words which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. John 15 and verse number 10. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. What if Jesus would have came to this earth and said, you know what, I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to live the way that I want to. I'm going to behave the way that I want to. I'm going to say the things that I want to. He couldn't have gone to the cross. Jesus saying in John 15, he says, you know what, when I came, I kept my Father's commandments. How can I know that I'm saved? There is a desire inside of me to keep the commandments of the Lord. What does the word commandment mean? It means a command. Do this, do that. It means a mandate, an order, an injunction given by authority, a charge, or a precept. The word to keep means to guard, to observe, or to watch over. Jerry Vines writes this. He says, a person who is genuinely born again will have an attitude that desires to guard and to keep the commandments of God. It's not enough to claim to be saved. There must be an attitude of obedience in his or her heart. He would later write this. John does not mean we will live a life of perfect obedience to the commandments of God. And everybody said amen to that. Not one of us would say we have always perfectly kept the commandments of God. But he does mean that we will have an attitude of really wanting to do what God wants us to do. The lost man or woman has no desire for the things of God. Do you have a desire to do what God has asked you to do? Is there something inside of you that propels you to get into the Word of God and find out how God wants us to live? The lost man has no desire. No desire to read the Bible, no desire to pray, no desire to do what God wants him to do. I think about Peter. Peter didn't follow the Lord perfectly. He had some hiccups. Matter of fact, he had one big hiccup. He denied that he even knew Jesus when the pressure was on. You know that story. But when the Lord looked at him, he knew that he had broken the commandment of God. And what did he do? He went out and wept bitterly. You read in the book of Acts, the pressure is back on Peter again. He is told, hey, you better not be preaching. You better not be teaching the Word of God. And Peter said, we ought to obey God rather than man. You know why? Because he had something inside of him that says, you know what? I want to be obedient to the Lord. Joshua chapter 1 and verse number 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Why? Why do we read the Bible? That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Letter G, I've said this. One thing that I notice is Christians spend more time and energy trying to justify their disobedience than trying to come up with ways they can push the envelope instead of just obeying what God says. I came across a kind of a podcast type thing on YouTube this week. It's called Surrounded. Anybody ever heard of Surrounded? You get one guy in the middle, and then they're surrounded by 20 different individuals that believe contrary to what this one guy. One of those, Charlie Kirk, was at one of those. I watched it just a couple of weeks ago. And then the one that I watched this week was a girl by the name of Allie Beth Stuckey. And the title of this YouTube video is Surrounded by 20 Liberal Christians. She is a very conservative Christian, and so she is surrounded by 20 liberal Christians. And so they debated such issues as abortion. She was adamantly against abortion, and these 20 people around her, they're adamantly for abortion. And so they get periods of time that they come and sit down and they try to debate this issue. Homosexuality was another one of those issues. And so just some of these social issues. Now, all of them in that room would have said, hey, I'm saved. I'm a born again believer in Jesus Christ. But here's the thing is, they had two totally different perspectives. One says, hey, you know what? I just believe the Bible. I believe that God gives life. I believe that life is important. I believe that we should not be taking life, and life begins at conception, not some point way down the road. And these other 20 people that would say, hey, they are Christian, they say, oh, no, that's not what the Bible says. And they try to manipulate the Word of God to justify their position. I do that periodically in my life. There's something I want to do, something I get caught doing, or I get into the Word of God, I try to find me a verse or try to justify something. Hey, we all do it from time to time. We're living in a culture today that people want to live the way they want to, and they're going to find some way to justify that it's okay. Instead of just saying, you know what, here's what the Bible says, here's what God says, and here's what I'm going to try to do in my life. Now, we're not going to do it perfectly. But here's what John is saying. If we say that we're saved, if we know the Lord Jesus Christ, then there's going to be something inside of us that is going to want to be obedient to the commands of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's what he says in verse number 4. But if it's not there, if there is no attitude of obedience, verse number 4, John says that person is a liar and the truth is not in him. Letter H, I've just said this. What is the condition of a person who talks the talk but refuses the walk? Number one, John says that he's an imposter. He's a liar. He has no truth. He is not saved. Rod Matten would write this. Even if folks are teachers or preachers, if they do not live by the scriptures and obey them, they are not telling the truth, because the truth of knowing Christ is not in their hearts. Vines would write this. How do you look at the commandments of God and the desires of God? If there is a constant rebellion in your heart, if there is no desire whatsoever in your heart really to do the will of God, then there is a question about your salvation experience. But if deep in your heart you can say, Lord, I know I'm not perfect and I know I fail you sometimes, yet down in my heart I really want to do your will, that is evidence that you are a child of God. So what about you this morning? Do you have an attitude of obedience? You may not live it up perfectly, but in your heart there is a desire. Hey, I want to live out and follow the teachings and the commandments of the Lord. John says you will have that attitude if you're saved. He gives us another one. We need to imitate the life of Jesus. Notice what John says in verse number 5. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. Most of us are old enough to remember back in the 80s. Remember when everybody was wearing those leather bracelets and stuff that had WWJD on them? And we remember what it was all about. It was meant, what would Jesus do? It really meant this, that every decision that we made, every conversation we had, every post that we would make on social media, every day on our job, why we should act and talk like Jesus would act and talk like. That's really the way that we ought to live our lives. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus say? Why? Because we are to be imitators of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to turn with me back to 1 Peter chapter number 2. 1 Peter chapter number 2. Because I think that Peter gives us some things that we ought to do in our lives and that we ought to put into practice into our lives if we are going to be like Christ. Notice what he says in verse number 9, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not people, but are now the people of God, which hath not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." If you're saved, you've obtained mercy. You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. But notice what Peter goes on and says, "Dearly beloved," that's a very loving term. "I beseech you, I beg you, I implore you as strangers and pilgrims." You and I are strangers and pilgrims. Hey, this land is not our land. Our home is in heaven. We're just passing through. We're strangers and pilgrims on this earth. And so he says this, "Abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul." Having your conversation, that word conversation's conduct, honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as an evildoer, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. "Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors, or unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, or for the praise of them that do well. For this is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish man." Now, I could stay there for a while in verse number 13 down through verse number 15, but I would get in trouble if I did. But you ought to read the text. Because what the text says, it doesn't matter who is in charge of the government, we submit to them. And listen to me, I am as political as anybody is in here. I get stirred up as much as anybody in here about those things. But I also know what the scripture says. And we need to be careful with that. He goes on in verse number 16, he says, "As free and not using your liberality for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God." Notice this, honor the good men. Honor those people that treat you well. Honor, what's that word? All men. That's tough. I cannot do that in my flesh. Can I just be honest with you? There's some people I don't like. Is anybody like that? I mean, there are just some people, listen to me, I know that I'm one of those personalities. I've always said this about me. I know that my personality to a lot of people is like taking your fingernails and pulling them down a chalkboard. Now, these younger folks don't know what a chalkboard is. They know what whiteboards are. But I just know that. I wish it was different, but I just know that about myself. But you know, here's what the Bible says. Honor all men. The only way that I can do that is to be filled with the Spirit of God. The only way that I can do that is say, "God, you know what? Oh, so and so, they're like fingernails on a chalkboard to me. God, would you help me to honor them? God, would you help me to love them?" Hey, you can only do that if you're saved. And he says, honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. I'll go on. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Go on, Dave. We are a blessed people right now. We're blessed right now. We have an opportunity right now. And I'll go on. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear. Not only to the good and to the gentle, but also to the forward. Let's take that verse out of there. Can we do that? Have you ever worked for somebody that just irritated you? I worked for a guy by the name of Charlie Cullins. Now, I'm a guy that I've always had lots of energy and always wanted to go, but I'm telling you, he was a nut. He was always going here, going there. And, you know, we would get things done, and in 5 minutes he'd come in there and he'd tear everything up, and I'd be so stinking mad. You ever work for anybody like that? You just, whoa! Do you know that this verse is for you? Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and the gentle, that's easy, but also to the forward. How do you do that? You've got to have the Spirit of God inside of you. You've got to be like Jesus. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience towards God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if when ye are buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable to God. That's another thing. It's tough. Hey, if I know that I need a chewing, if I know that I'm in trouble, I'll take whatever comes my way. But what happens if you get those and you've done good and you've done right? You don't deserve it. That's what he's saying. If when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye take it. But if when ye do well, when you don't deserve it and you suffer for it, something happens to you, but you take it patiently, what does he say? This is acceptable to God. He would go on. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow in his steps. How should we follow Jesus? How should we imitate Jesus? Notice what it says in verse number 22. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. He didn't do anything wrong. He had no faults. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You know how you do that? You imitate Jesus. Because I guarantee you one thing, I can't do that in my flesh. You've heard me say this often. I may not get you today, I may not get you tomorrow, but bless God, I'll get you. That's not Christian. That's not Jesus. Jesus says this when he was reviled. Even though he had the power to call 10,000 angels and wipe them out, the Bible says that he reviled not again. Verse number 24, who his own self bare our sins and his own body on the tree, that being dead to sins, that we should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but now are returned unto the shepherd and bishops of your souls. Martin Luther said this, it is not the walk of the Savior in walking on the water that is intended here. None of us can walk on the water, but it is one's everyday down-to-earth ordinary walk and the common experiences of life. Spurgeon writes this. It's kind of hard to grasp, but man, it's really good. Spurgeon writes this. He says, the Bible ought has great weight with a contentiousness man. Ought it to be so? Then it shall be so. God helping me. If we say we must do, if we talk we must walk, or it will be mere talk. If we make the profession of abiding in Christ, we must prove it by our practice of walking with Christ. If we say that we are in Christ and abide in Him, we must take care that our life and character are conformed to Christ, or else we shall be making an empty boast. This is true of every man who says he is in Christ, for the text is put in the most general and absolute manner. But the man, old or young, rich or poor, learned or simple, pastor or hearer, is it incumbent upon him to live like Christ if he professes to live in Christ. What does John say? Verse number 5, but whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby we know that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk how? As he walked. So the second thing, and I've got to be done. We've got to imitate Christ. And then the third thing is that we've got to have true love for people. Notice verse number 7, brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye have heard from the beginning. That old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. He's in that verse, he's just talking about loving one another and loving God with all of our heart and with all of our soul. Loving people was a big deal for John because of what love for people was a big deal to John because of what Jesus had done for him. John is known as the apostle of love because he talked about it a lot. But he didn't always have a loving heart, and I've given you some of those passages. He was one of the sons of thunder. They wanted to call fire down on some people at one time. He wanted to be number one in the kingdom, sitting right next to Jesus. John didn't always have love in his heart. But as he came to know Jesus as his Savior, and as he began to grow in his faith, God changed his heart. So much so that when Jesus was on the cross, he asked John to care for his mother. Rod Matten writes this. He says, when the love of God permeates a life, it lifts up a person spiritually and emotionally. His love will help you to conquer many faults that you struggle with in your heart because many faults center around selfishness, your bitterness, or your conflicts with people. If you have a terrible temper, if you're selfish, proud, bitter, greedy, jealous, the love of Jesus Christ dominating you through the power of His Holy Spirit within you can totally overhaul your entire attitude and actions. A man came to Moody Tabernacle in Chicago many years ago. In front of the tabernacle, in glass flames, were a scripture, God is love. This man came into the building that night with his life filled with hatred and bitterness and sin. He sat through the service, and when the invitation hymn was given, he rushed down the aisle and received Jesus as Savior. After the service, Mr. Moody went up to the man and said, "Sir, what was it about the sermon that caused you to give your heart to Christ tonight?" He said, "It was not anything about the sermon. I hardly heard a word of it." "What song was it?" Mr. Moody then asked. The man replied, "I hardly heard the singing. I don't know a thing they sang tonight." Mr. Moody continued, "Well, what was it? What did it?" The man pointed up to the front and said, "It was that sign up there, God is love. I could not get away from it. God is love, and it broke my heart. For the first time in my life, I have love instead of hatred in my heart." How can you know that you're saved? You have an attitude of obedience. How can that you know that you're saved? You try to imitate the Lord Jesus Christ. How can you know that you're saved? You begin to have a love for people. Lord, we love you today. God, we're grateful for your word.